Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. When you ask a question in the chat room, please make sure that you've logged into the chat and go. That's the set name at the bottom. That you have a nickname, and that you ask one question in all caps. That makes it easiest for us to collate. Thank you. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests, and up-to-date news. Please join Simon in playing an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Yes, indeed. You are listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and welcome. This is JP, your host, and today's Connecting Consciousness, as always, with Simon Parkes. Good afternoon. Good evening, Simon. How are you?
Hello, JP. Hello, everybody. I'm fine. Still here. Still doing what we need to do.
Excellent. Yeah. It's been quite a week. Do you have... And I'm sure you will. would you like to kind of give a discourse first about what's been going on for everybody? Or do you want to just go straight into questions?
I think probably it would be worth just having a chat about what's happening and where we're at and try to put it together, from my perspective. One of the things I think I would start off with is saying that a lot of people think it's a done deal. There's a lot of excitement that the Clintons are going to go. There's going to be a quiet revolution, and you know it's going to be this bloody police car going.
It's great, isn't it? They're just absolutely typical. They're not stopping outside though. Stop. That's all right.
Just, I don't know. So there's a lot of euphoria. There's a lot of excitement, and I will have a note of caution and say to people, it is not a done deal. These people who have got a lot of blood on their hands are very, very entrenched in the system, and they are not going to give up without a struggle. So it's too early to think that it's over and it's finished and hallelujah. What we can say is that it's all happening at the moment, and I think JP, before we went on air, that's exactly what you said to me. So what I want to do is to just... give my view on some of the things that are widely known, but also add some things that are probably not widely known. What astonishes me, excuse me, is how little the people in the United States actually know. It is a great shame that they have to listen to this show, or many other shows, just to hear the truth, just to know what's going on, because their own media are so controlled, that they're having to go to foreign stations to learn what's happening in their backyard, and that is an indication of just how desperate things are. All right, Hillary Clinton has just recently alleged that Russia was behind a very, very big cyber attack on the United States, and particularly has been supporting WikiLeaks to bring Hillary Clinton's campaign off the rails. The fact of the matter and the truth is it was not the Russians. And of course, Hillary Clinton can't tell the truth. She knows the truth. The truth is it was the FBI and the CIA who ensured that the latest round of WikiLeaks relating to the Clintons actually got out there. So it's not the Russians. It's actually the FBI and the CIA. The reason that the FBI and the CIA got this last lot of WikiLeaks out was because on Monday of last week, the two Clintons attempted a bloodless coup at Capitol Hill. Now that sounds very grand. What it actually means is that they connected with all of the people that there's blackmail against, all of the people that they own financially, called in favors, and tried to subvert the Constitution. There was an immediate backlash by a lot of people who do not like the Clintons, and a lot of people who, frankly, their lives wouldn't last 10 seconds if the Clintons got into office. So there was a counter coup. As part of this coup, and I did put it on my website as an update, over 40 states in America, the National Guard were activated. And if you get a map and you look at where the National Guard were activated, and this is people particularly aimed at America, and I hope you, you know, you're listening because it's important for you. All of these states were states that Donald Trump needs to win to be the president. So it looks as if the bad guys, for want of a better word, were attempting some form of military takeover at state level, not at, you know, federal level, at state level, but only in the constituencies in the states that Donald Trump needs to win. Now, that didn't happen, but they were mobilized at 3 o'clock in the morning, actually. They were mobilized, but they didn't leave their bases. So we have a situation where there is two very strong factions now facing each other off. Those who support Clinton, and that's actually the media, they're owned by people who are very connected with the Clintons. And then you have the most of the FBI who are against Clintons. And of the three major services in the United States, the FBI are the most honest. Now, there are good people in both the CIA and the NSA, but what we can definitely say is that the FBI, who never really got into Secret Service and espionage, they're the ones who are staying true to the Constitution. Now, when this coup was attempted by the Clintons, those who support freedom, for want of a better word, used a United States Air Force base, and I did name this base in my update on my website, to run a counter blocking on the internet. Now, what we noticed in Great Britain was the internet right across the British Isles didn't go down, but its quality went right down, and we lost lots of calls. It's happened in many parts of the United States. Now, this initially we thought was a negative thing. It actually was a positive thing, because WikiLeaks were releasing the latest round of information about the Clintons. Now, to prevent the bad guys from blocking that release, then this United States Air Force base was used to electronically enter the web. And Britain, of course, is linked to America. And one of the ways they could have blocked WikiLeaks is from Great Britain. So that was targeted to prevent them blocking WikiLeaks' leak. So that came from a United States Air Force base. So now we begin to understand that we have the politicians on one side supporting Hillary Clinton and the lots of the military on the other side, who don't necessarily support Donald Trump, but are absolutely determined not to let Hillary Clinton in. Now, anyone who got a good memory will remember 2 or 3 years ago, I was the first one to go breaking news with the fact that someone had tried to kill Hillary Clinton on an aeroplane. It was her number one bodyguard, the bodyguards of SEALs. She was flying to Iran, and the bodyguard had shot and wounded Hillary Clinton, but other bodyguards then shot him. So this was 3 years ago, I think. And that bodyguard had seen something that many people now are seeing. So this thing about Clinton isn't new. This goes on a long time. So why haven't they pulled the election? Because there was a 50-50 chance that Obama, because he's up to his neck in it, Obama would call the election off and try and run on as a caretaker president. The reason they've not done that at this stage is because the military have said they will rise up against Capitol Hill if the election is pulled. Now, whether that's a bluff or not, I don't know. So what they did was they decided they would try and rig the election by having Clinton win by 1 or 2% of the popular vote. So they thought we can do this. We can actually rig it so that we can show the world that Clinton's won legitimately. We know that something like 4 million dead people have already voted or will vote. In other words, 4 million people who are deceased will appear to have voted. So that just shows you the desperate ranks they're going to. One of the reasons that so many people dislike the Clintons is because of the alleged actions that Hillary Clinton has taken on the Lola Express. The Lola Express is the name given to an aeroplane that flies somewhere where you can abuse children. and it is alleged that Hillary Clinton took this aeroplane on a regular basis. Now, I've spoken to quite a number of people who have told me that they are not going to prosecute Bill Clinton for satanic child abuse because people are just not ready to be told that a president of the United States has satanically abused children. But the charge they want to bring against Bill Clinton is sex with underage minors. So in one way it's the same thing because it's sex with underage, but it's also against their will and it's also against children and it's in a satanic ritual abuse. But they're not going to go down that road because I don't think people are ready for it, and it will be easier to secure a charge if they just say sex with underage. So that's what they want to go with Bill Clinton. In terms of Hillary, they want to go for treason, absolute treason. That's what they want to go with her. Now, Obama, the latest that I was told was that they don't want to prosecute Obama because it would just be too much for the American Constitution to lose a past president, a presidential candidate, and the sitting president. So you think what they're going to offer Obama is he leaves office, he never has another high-paid job again, and he just goes quietly away and disappears. The other thing I would say is that we've talked so much about martial law, excuse me, we've talked so much on the internet about, well, you know, the bad guys will try and lock America down. There's another take to this. I've been talking to people, and there's a real possibility that the good guys will attempt to bring in martial law because they'll want to seal off certain parts of America and wheedle out the bad guys. And what I would say to our listeners is that we need to, each individual person, each one of you has got to decide whether the good guys are in control or the bad guys. Because both people want a form of martial law to prevent the other side from having free access. So that's one thing. The other thing I want to talk about, I'm not going to give any names away, but I just want people to appreciate that there is an awful lot going on, somebody who works on my team has recently been shot at. This happened.
Hang on, is that somebody shooting at somebody in the background though?
I wish it was.
it's like there's a soundtrack going on.
If it was, it would mean that hallelujah, it started. But unfortunately it hasn't yet started. No, this is an attack made on a member of my team. And I want people to appreciate this. I want them to know, you know, that there's not just me, but there's many people who dedicate themselves for truth, for justice, and do put themselves out because they passionately believe that what they're doing is right, and they will not be intimidated. And, you know, for many people, you know, they go on the internet and they write a blog, and they put it out, and then they get into an argument or a debate, and, you know, that's their life. Well, you know, there are some of us who have something different that happens. We do what we do, and, you know, there's a consequence for what we do. We know that the weapon that was fired at this person was silenced. It had a silencer on it, and that probably saved this person's life because, a silencer affects the accuracy of a weapon. So you get the advantage of a silent gun, so nobody can look around to see where the shot has come from. But the downside is that you lose some of that accuracy, and that's probably what saved this person. Now, the reason I'm saying this happened a few weeks ago. I did not go public with it at the time because I don't do knee-jerk reactions. But we are reaching a point now. There's a great deal happening, and I just want people to realize that you know, I'm not speaking for myself, actually, but it takes a lot of courage for people to do what they do, whatever that might be, to put humanity first and not do what so many people do, which is give in or take a bribe, or be blackmailed or whatever it might be. So we're here to stay. We're going to see this through. It needs to happen. And at last, finally, it's beginning to get onto the mainstream news. And that is the important point here. Because as long as it stays with the alternative news, the vast majority of the decent, good people of every country in the world who are asleep have no knowledge. They don't know. But now it is breaking very slowly, although America's probably one of the hardest nuts to crack to get into the mainstream news. But in many countries, they're becoming aware that actually they've been lied to. In terms of our own country, I'm still very concerned about a financial meltdown. I still think that Deutsche Bank is not saved. For those who've perhaps been following it or haven't, the Qatari royal family pulled out from supporting Deutsche Bank. But as predicted, the Chinese have come in and want to buy 25% of Deutsche Bank. The Americans don't want that because that would give the Chinese access to a major European bank and all the politics that goes with that. But frankly, they've got no choice because they're almost broke. So that will probably stagger on. Deutsche will probably stagger on until January or February, depending on what deal the Chinese want to do with that. But up and down Great Britain, it's being reported, and I've experienced it myself, where cash machines now are not giving out the amount of money you want. They're swallowing people's cards. They are refusing to pay people, and they're incredibly slow. And what's happening is that each time somebody puts a card into a cash machine, it goes back to your bank, but it's actually going to the central bank and say, how much money is there left in the system? And if it's getting, the liquidity is getting really low, they'll either give you less money than you've asked for and just say, oh, there wasn't much money in that particular cash machine, or they'll keep your card, which means you've got 3 days before you can get a new card and start drawing money out. Or they'll just say, we can't give you the money. Now, that's happening more and more and more. And they're lying and saying it was a software glitch. We've had a problem in this place or that place. But it's becoming endemic now because at certain times of the day when banks do their trading in between each other and they're passing the debt around like Ring a Ring of Roses, you know, pass the debt on to the next bank. It's like a hot potato. Get it out of your hands quickly. And it's just going round in a circle. And it lands on a bank that's actually particularly low at that moment. Then they don't want withdrawals. That's how serious it is. So I still reiterate that if you can put a little bit of money away under the bed, if you have drinking water and some food, method to cook it, it's still a good investment. Many, many people are investing in gold. Precious metals, diamonds, land. They're really going for it now. And I've talked about here before, in where I live, one of the largest mines is about to be opened. And it's no surprise that the mine is called in British Cyrus, but in American Sirius. That is the name of the company that is opening at the biggest mine where I live. And, somebody I know very well found out quickly who is behind it, and it's JP Morgan. Now, JP Morgan has moved from paper money into mining because JP Morgan has been buying large gold mines in South America, and he's buying this mine, which is going to be the biggest in the world, and it's here where I live, and it's a fertilizer mine. In other words, it's producing chemicals which will be used for farming. So let's think about this. If you own large numbers of gold mines and you own fertilizer, then you can control the world's food supply if you have the largest mine in the world. So these people know what's happening and they're getting out of electronic money and moving across. So let's just reiterate, we have a situation where it's finally balanced. No one side now has supremacy over the other. It is not a done deal. The bad guys could still pull this off, but it is now, the fight is out in the open. I absolutely believe that they will try and let the election go ahead. They will attempt to fake it and rig it so that they say that Hillary's won by a very small number of votes. If that happens, I think within just a few weeks, she'll be declared sick and that she will stand down. So my fear, and that is a fear, I'm going to use the word fear because I don't want violence. My fear or worry is that if they fake the election and Hillary Clinton has declared the winner, there will be civil war in some states of America because many states will not accept that because they'll know the truth. And here in Great Britain, we don't have guns. In the United States of America, they do. So it's a very, very important decision. These people who are deciding what they're going to do with Hillary Clinton, because she's just a puppet, and how they're going to play her, need to realize that they could put their country into a terrible state. The military now are referring to America as the Republic. Now, that doesn't mean much to us Europeans or us in Great Britain, but it means a lot to the United States. They are using the word Republic, and that tells us a great deal. These people who are the good guys want the United States to return to the position of a republic. So, JP, thank you for your indulgence.
No problem.
It really is the most important time now. And I always said October through, and it all kicked off in October. It's now moving through to the first part of November. And people really just have to hold their breath, really, and just see where we go with it. So that's it. That's where we're up to.
Yeah, well, actually, I'd recommend them to breathe through it rather than hold their breath, because they might explode if they did.
Take long, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to breathe out as we will breathe in. Just as an aside, one of our other hosts, Max Steele, Captain Max Steele, on the show he was doing on Wednesday, was speaking personally with General Dunford.
All right.
And, you know.
He's a good guy. General Dunford's a good guy.
He's one of the White Hats. And basically he was saying, almost exactly what you were saying. The swing states, I think, the ones where Trump would win, or what they call them, the key states or something like that.
Yes,
anyway, there was a large mobilization of military hardware to all of those states.
Yes.
To secure it, to make sure that these people didn't get away with changing the shifting the vote on it.
Yes.
And that that they were going to hand it over to the Republic, so they were going to sort of cleanse the White House, cleanse Washington, and then hand it over to the Republic again, which is all in place. People have been working hard in the background, because everybody knows about this stuff. Everybody's been waiting for this moment.
Yes, I mean, the thing is that I have not met that general. I haven't done any Skypes with him. It just couldn't be done. But I am aware through other people that he's one of the movers and shakers, and is very, very clear that his loyalty is to the citizens of the United States of America.
Yep, and truth, honesty, and decency. So, having said all that, shall we move into our question and answer session at 11:22 PST and your phone agrees? So, let's go completely off planet.
Stop it.
In the bucket of water.
I talk to my electronic equipment, because you see in the other dimensions you can do that.
Yeah,
so
and it'll just
stop. Dimension, you can't talk to the machines because they're not quite there yet.
Except if you do. And here's the other thing, Simon. Did you know this? These things like Siri and all the speech interpretation, it doesn't work on the telephone itself. It works on the internet. So it sends what you say to the internet to be interpreted and then sent back to your phone.
I didn't know that.
So, and particularly things using Google, when they say, okay, Google, everything is stored. Everything you say is stored, including things that you haven't said, if you like. It's recording all the time.
Yes. Oh God, yes, absolutely. That's one of the things that, people need to realize that Google, and I was chatting to Wynn about this, and we were talking about the, Arnold Schwarzenegger films. And the Skynet, and we were both of the opinion that Google is Skynet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got a message from one of your team. Hi, JP. The audio cut off just as Simon's wanted to say something about a member of his team, and then the sound cut off, and then went on a loop, then cut back in when Simon was another topic.
Absolutely.
What did Simon say? I want to know too.
I'm going to repeat it then, because
if
that is the case, and then we have been absolutely knocked out from air
when
I talk about that, then that's quite shocking, because it means that we're being monitored in real time, and we're being knocked out in real time. Now, it might just be this one person didn't pick it up, or it might be the whole network. Do you have any way of knowing, JP, whether we lost the whole network on that?
I'm not sure. We are on three streams. We got Wow, there's 500 on the mainstream. So it may be that it's just kind of maxing out a little bit sometimes, because of strong demand.
Well, what I would ask is that if people can send a message to you, JP, just whether they heard it or not. Now, if they didn't, at the end of the show, I'll just repeat it.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody, no, it wasn't on the phone line. It got broadcast. It's in the archive. Okay. So shall we move forward? Yeah. To the questions. Now, this one is from Ricky, and it takes us right off planet, straight away. Reptilians are from Cassiopeia, and what about alien races from Orion? Is the headline. You once mentioned that reptilian aliens are of origin from Cassiopeia. Can you confirm that, interestingly enough, a French TV show called Once Was Space, Il était une fois l'espace, shows the Cassiopeia to be quite military and aggressive types. Also, since I seem to have a personal affinity to the Orion constellation, what alien races are involved there? Yeah, we don't hear much about the Cassiopeians and the Ursa Majors and people like that. Do they feature in our local stellography?
Well, they feature in our DNA. If we just think of one star constellation as producing one group, then we'd probably be erroneous. There are a number of constellations which would hold the same group or different groups which physically may look somewhat different from each other but have a root stock, have a root connection. So you'd have a reptilian from the Orion group which would look remarkably different from a Draconis reptilian. Nevertheless, they do all generally loosely form some form of agreement. The only sort of ones I'm familiar with are a couple. One of them, of course, is the native reptilians on Earth who don't want anything to do with the Draconis because they don't want to be taken over. So you've got certain planets or constellations that don't feature heavily, either because they are so involved in unpleasant things that they've been kept well out of the consciousness, but more likely because the role they're playing now is far less. So if you had an Orion Empire, which we had a long time ago, that would have been on everyone's lips or on their telepathic mind thoughts. But now, of course, that's waned. And what you've got is a number of groups. So there are reptilian groups in the Orion section. There are very humanoid groups and some very unusual looking life forms. But we have a connection. Different people have different connections. And so therefore, I'm sitting here saying, oh, well, you know, the Orion Empire's long, long gone. But if someone has that connection to them, it may be gone, but it's still very important to them. So you could have an affinity with something that doesn't hit the headlines. It's not on the alternative news. It's not on the internet. I don't talk about it very much. It means that it's not playing a key role now, or it is, and it's very, very well hidden, or it's something that once was a very powerful group. So, you know, just because I don't talk about Cassiopeia or the Sombrero Galaxy or things like that, it's not that they weren't important. It's just that at this time on Earth's timeline, they're not playing a key role. You take a federation of humanoid beings. They may come from a planet or a star system that we don't even really talk about. But because they're part of a group, their action is not from their star system. It is part of a federation or a grouping that they're with. So people actually don't want their home planets to be identified. And you will understand that, JP. So rather than identify home planets within star systems, they'll just talk about the confederation of this or the association of that. And that's a better way. So it's like we're all in it together. Don't start picking off individual planets. So it's a good question because the person has understood that lots of constellations and planets have life forms, but they're not in the news. And remember that so many people write on the internet, on YouTube, and unfortunately they don't have very much knowledge. And so they recycle the same things, or they hear what somebody says and then they put a spin on it and they put it out there. And that's part of the difficulty in going through and saying, well, look, this is absolute trash, but I've had to listen to 20 minutes of it before I can be confirmed of that. And what a waste of our time. But there's not much we can do. You know, for those who research, they'll need to go through that, because sometimes you get a gem that comes through and you might find a star constellation that you've never heard gets mentioned. So that's the situation, and that's my best answer to that.
Thanks very much. Wow. So, okay, so back to, I'm going to sort of bounce around, so keep the topics moving. This question is from someone Russian, I think. Anyway, please correct me if I'm wrong, my Simon. It seems that Mr. Putin has had some sort of a deal with Illuminati or Satanists or whatever. I guess the president exchanged Russia's power on the international stage for huge amounts of negative energy that come from low level of life corruption inside the country. Do you think it can take place? Russia has become stronger outside, but it's very bad inside the country. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand the question. Thank you. Right. I don't know what the person is referring to. I'm going to take it backwards. The corruption in Russia is accepted as normal. That's the thing we've got, first and foremost, we've got to understand that the bribery and the corruption that happens in Russia is normal. That's how the country operates. Now, in the Western world, in the United States of America and Great Britain, we go, tut, 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 isn't that bad? The reality is that corruption is just as bad in our countries, but they've got a level on it. They hold it down. They don't let people know. They hide it. I'll give you an example. You are asked to join the Freemasons. You join the Freemasons. You're asked to join because you're an up-and-coming businessman and they can use you. And one day you've gone to a meeting and you're driving back and you go through a speed camera too fast. You will be able to have no points on your license because you will be able to phone someone and say, stop that happening. Now that's corruption. Now that doesn't feature anywhere in the news bulletins. It doesn't feature anywhere because it is so tightly controlled. There are deals that are done for motorway constructions, for building of hospitals, for building of great big huge civic amenities. Massive corruption, backhanders are paid. But because the media is so firmly controlled and they're all in it at many levels, it doesn't come out. But in Russia, it's seen as perfectly normal. That's why it gets out, because no one sees anything wrong in it. So from a Western perspective, it looks wrong because we are not being shown just how corrupt it is here. Now, on the part about the Illuminati, I don't know about that because President Putin has publicly come out and attacked George Soros and called him an old dragon. Basically, you're a reptilian. Putin has come out and said that over three quarters of the ruling families on the planet are hybridized reptilian humans. Now, that isn't somebody who'd go and do a deal with the Illuminati, because he's publicly come out and said, I don't want any part to do with you. You're not human. You have no love for humanity. You're only interested in blood and money, power and control, and I don't want any of that. And he's come out publicly and said that. And that's been reported in the mainstream news, and people can find that on the internet. He's done that. So would he do a deal with the Illuminati? Well, he might do if he felt that it would prevent a third world war. Because something Putin's not, and that's stupid. Putin is not stupid. That's why he's been president, what is it, twice, three times, and prime minister once. Stupid people don't survive in politics in Russia. Is he hard? Absolutely he's hard. Is he whiter than white? No, I'm sure he's not. But he's the right man for the job at the moment, because there needed to be a counterbalance to all the evil that is coming out from the top echelons of the United States and Britain and other countries. So whilst many people don't like Putin, the reason they don't like him is because they can't control him. He is unpredictable. He cannot be controlled. And because he kicked the Rothschilds out of Russia, he can't be controlled financially. So I don't think he would do a deal that would be satanic, but he might do a deal if he thought that it would prevent millions of people dying. So that's my answer to that one. Thank you.
Exactly. He's a quite a strong Christian. But the thing is, Simon, I mean, when I was growing up in the world, you know, I used to think corruption. Oh, that's bribery. You know, as you're talking, you know, it's like, but now we realize that, you know, corruption is like soul corruption. It's the, you know, what's coming out with Hillary and all of these people over there is that it's worse than corruption. It's like complete black soul, no heart at all.
I have my own battles. I mean, there are some people I can't forgive, but there are others who are more evolved than me that say everybody should be forgiven, but I haven't reached that level of highly evolvedness yet. There are some people who, I personally can't forgive. And for me, it's those people that hurt children. For those people who hurt children, I can't forgive them. And there are a lot of people in the military, a lot of good people who also can't have anything to do with that. So for instance, the Rothschilds now, they're not in hiding, but they've retired. That's the best way to describe it. The Rothschilds now are in Switzerland and they have officially retired. The reason that they have retired is because they don't have a history of satanic child abuse. So they can still be worked with. But other people who have a history of satanic child abuse will not be allowed to retire. They'll be hunted down. And that's just the way it is. Jacob Rothschild said, didn't he, recently, that the banking experiment is in uncharted waters. This is the man's family who created the banking system, is now publicly on established media, said basically the experiment, he called it the experiment, is in uncharted waters. Well, it's not actually in uncharted waters because he knows that he's walked away from the helm. He's left the tiller. He's left the wheel. It's spinning crazily. He's left it and he doesn't care because he's got his wealth and he can no longer manage the situation because it's out of control and there's no money left for him. So we have a situation where those people who can be forgiven, they've done some pretty bad things, but they haven't satanically abused children. But those people who have, there's no turning for them. There's no hiding hole. There's nobody who will give them a place to stay except their own kind. So that's what we're dividing into, those who are going to be absolutely thoroughly disgusted. And I did put on my website an update saying that both MI5 and MI6 are disgusted at the Clintons. So that, because I know certain people look at that website, other than the decent, good, ordinary people, there are certain other people who look at our websites, and mine is one of them. And that was a warning to say to them, basically, the tide has turned, there isn't a hiding place for you now. And some of these people around Clinton are turning what they call state evidence. Here in Britain, we call it Queen's evidence. Another, I don't know what that is going past. But basically, there are people now who can see the writing on the wall and are saying, I better get off the ship, get in my rowing boat and start rowing away because I don't want any of that. And there's a proof of that. And it's easily, you can easily check it up if you've got the time. Many of the staff in the White House, staffers, who've been supporting Hillary Clinton's campaign on Twitter, defriended her. And they don't follow Clinton anymore on Twitter, and they removed all of their conversations. So they are realizing that this truth can't be hidden for much longer. There is going to be a big reckoning, and they are, I never knew Hillary Clinton. I didn't know her. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. You can just imagine it, can't you? So when you see people not following somebody on Twitter en masse, then you begin to understand that it's beginning to take effect at the high levels. So we do have a very, very, very challenging but exciting time ahead. And remember, we've got to go through this to come out the other end. We can't put this off. We have to go through it. And that's why many of us, UJP, me, Wynn, many other good people have said, we don't go in full of fear. We go in with concern, but we basically say, we've got to do this. It's got to happen. How on earth can we change unless we get this change? And in Great Britain, I expect the loss of life to be minimal, if anything at all. This is the land of the energies, the magical isle, where the energies will change. In the United States, I fear that there will be loss of life. But I guess it has to go down that road, because that is the way the two countries are staged. One is the very physical, the powerful, that's the United States, and one is the thinking, the connection, the energy. And both need each other, and both work together. So that's my answer.
Thank you so much, Simon. So coming up to so this is a very long question. I actually want to precede it, because it's long anyway, but it's quite important. Dear Simon, thank you for the education you provide us all. I'd like to get your opinion on a change I've noticed in myself. For a number of years now, I've had increasing difficulties in understanding and connecting with people. I've made strides in my personal evolution. However, at the same time, people's understanding only increased it. It's now at a point that simply in looking at another person and hearing how he or she speaks, I can feel almost instantly see their fears and limitations. In other words, their state of being asleep. Okay, so, I'm just going to skip here. I can't help trusting my instincts, which brings me to a difficult question. You often speak of the hands of the clock coming to midnight and time running out. While I understand this in the context of the dark and powerful, I wonder about ordinary people. It's taken me perhaps 10 years to get to this point, and I still struggle. Simply put, will these people have enough time? I can't tell you how badly I hope the answer is yes. I feel we've all grown up together, as it were, and this estrangement has cost me so much. I just want my friends back. Please shed some light on this sad problem.
Thank you. First of all, you're not responsible for other people. You're responsible for yourself. You can't take on board the pain and suffering of other people. They have to make that decision for themselves. However, you can do what you can to assist those people that you love and feel for to move towards the right direction. But remember the old saying, you take a horse to water and you can't make it drink. If you were to sit someone in front of an hour's worth of YouTube videos, send them links, talk to them, the better chances they would just get up and say, do you know what, you've hurt my ears, I don't want to hear any more of it. People will only come to realization if they're meant to. And I've on record as saying, I never expect everybody to, you know, proverbially walk through the door. It'll be quite a small percentage, but that's enough. You know, we can't, can't reach everyone, and people will have to make the decision. And if they are too scared and too fearful, then, you know, they'll have to do something more and then come back in another life and do something else and see if they come through with it. What this person is saying is they've become awake and aware. It's a nice phrase, but that's exactly what they've done. And they did it before the hand struck midnight. And it's not just about the bad people, it's about everybody. I mean, there are plenty of good people out there who wouldn't hurt anybody, but believe that fluoride is good for you. Believe that inoculating your children is the best thing to do, because they have slavishly followed the people who they think are better than them. These are the people in power positions, who must know more than me, who must know what's right, and I'll do what they tell me. Now, that is giving your power away to somebody else, you know, and that's not what awake and aware people do. Awake and aware people, they ask their own soul, and they say, does this seem right to me? And if it doesn't seem right, they'll make a decision, and that often brings us into conflict with the system, whatever that might be. So, first of all, you're not responsible for anybody. You're not. They're responsible themselves. Yes, in law, you might be responsible for your children or your wife or your husband or whatever it might be. But on a soul level, you are responsible for yourself, and you're responsible for the group consciousness. So you would act with the group consciousness, trying to put goodness back into the planet, into the system, and trying to help those. Now, you're much better using your time and energy on those who are trying to break free, those who are trying to understand, rather than going cold and try and do it that way. The hands are 1 minute to midnight, which means that there's still time for many, many people to wake up. There's still time for some pretty bad, nasty people to actually throw it away and start doing some good. Because once the hands reach midnight, it's hard to describe it, but the best way would be as a door slamming shut. That's it. As the off-planet entity who I refer to, Mum, said to me, you are now at a point where you can only work with what you've got. In other words, you can't now draw in new and fresh energies other than what is coming from source. So people now who are trying to bring good on the planet can only work with what's already been established, because the door is closing. So yes, it's heartbreaking. You know, I can talk to 100 people, but mainly only one or two people will say, okay, I get it. I'm going to go and do my research and maybe email me later and say, you know, thank you very much. You opened my eyes. But I don't say, oh God, only two people responded. What I say is two people responded. That's two people who wouldn't have changed otherwise. So we don't look on it in terms of numbers, really. We look on it in terms of souls and energy. So concentrate on yourself. Find people around you who are like you. And if you really care about people, which I know you do, then try and work to convince people, but not people who are dead.
Exactly. Okay. I've had a logo, a motto on my a strap line, they call it, on my website for the last 5 years, which is waking the world one soul at a time, and or one show at a time. And yeah, it really is like that. I used to have three listeners. I'm not kidding. I used to have three listeners. But I still did my show, and I kept going every week and every week and every week, and here we are. So there's very great merit in holding your own space. And like you said, Simon, I totally agree. There's so many people who are saying, how can I help everybody else wake up? Well, your part of waking up is realizing that you can't help anybody wake up. You have to be, and then they'll wake up.
Yes. Well said.
Thank you. So, from Kirsten. Dear Simon, hope you're both well. When a person sells their soul to the devil, makes a pact with a jinn, what happens to their soul after death?
Interesting. Interesting question. Right. I divide that. Making a pact with the devil is a term we use, but I'm going to answer that last, because that's actually, for me, is more interesting. If you make a pact with a jinn, that's a specific contract in that lifetime. Most people who make a contract with a jinn are magicians. Some people can be bloodline. They're not magicians, but they're bloodline. They can do a contract, a soul contract. Right. If you make a soul contract with a jinn or a demonic entity, and I actually divide jinn from demons. For me, a demonic entity is different from a jinn. But don't want to go down that road at the moment. Nothing is the answer in the immediate term. What happens is that you make a pact with a jinn, you go into a symbiotic relationship. It gives you energies and powers which are discordant to humanity, but give you the ability to brainwash or go into people's minds and do bad things. And in return, it gets the chance to be in a human body, and it gets a chance to feed off that sort of energy. Now, when that black magician physical body dies, the soul from that black magician, if it's recycled and comes back and doesn't go to hell and isn't poked with a fork and stuck over a burning fire, it comes back into another body, and that same jinn will come back and try and make the same deal. Now, each time that black magician agrees to make the deal, it's a bit like falling in cement. It begins to vitrify or slow down the soul in that person's body to such a point that it becomes incredibly difficult to say no to the jinn. And so I'm not saying that the soul in the black magician over 1,000 years becomes like the jinn. What I'm saying is that its connection with humanity is so lost that it can no longer have any connection with humanity. So basically a person can become a non-entity. And that's why so many black magicians are desperately unhappy. And if there are any black magicians who will watch this on YouTube or listen to this on YouTube, you know who you are, because you'll sit in a dark room with no light on, because you can't even put the light on, because what it means to you. And if you're doing that, then you know you're nearly lost. So that's that. Now, when we say selling our soul to the devil, that actually is an energy contract, which can be with artificial intelligence, it can be with demonic forces or reptilians, but is slightly different. That is another specific deal that you do with a jinn, but the selling your soul to the devil is about giving up all of what you stand for because you believe that this other energy force will do more for you. So you turn your back on humanity and you throw your lot in with whichever this force is because you believe it will protect you and support you. And that's a good point, because that's what's occurred at Capitol Hill. A number of key people sold their soul to the devil, believing that this dark energy force would protect them and give them utopia. And it hasn't. And it's beginning to crumble. And these people now, they don't know who their master is. They don't know who their lord is. So I make this split between jinn, selling your soul, and also demonic energy. So it's a really good question. Thank you.
All right. Well, following on from that, just let's get deeper into this, because this is a question from Max. Both of us, he's come to see. So anyway, hi Simon. 2 months ago, during a session with JP, I think I recovered memories from my first incarnation on Earth. I was some kind of war magician protecting a city of what I called the Masters. They recruited me when I was young and told me that I was special, that they could help me unlock my potential. They said that I would not need a djinn put inside me to have powers. During a scene of the vision, I killed around 100 people using my mind and then quit the order from guilt and sadness. Since that, I've decided to devote my free time to help people even more. Is that kind of warrior even possible? Or do you have anything to say on that? If it's possible, is it possible that somehow they are trying to reactivate me by sometimes sending dark entities around me and my family? Thank you, Simon. Your work is much appreciated.
Thank you. Well, you shouldn't ask me whether it's possible when you have memories. So you know what's possible. When we live on two worlds, we can live on third dimension, the fourth dimension, those of us who can do that. And when we are in the fourth dimension, we can use powers that we can't easily use in the third reality. Now, if you go back a long time on this planet, there the membrane, the physical barrier between the third and the fourth was thinner at certain places and at certain times. So it was possible to go to a certain geographical location on this planet Earth much more easier than it is now, and to access those powers. Now, many people quite rightly say, well, humans are capable of so much more, and we are, but we are capable of much more good than we are evil. Now, when the fourth dimension entered this reality and basically formed the rules and the building blocks and the way of life on their values, it did so in a way that identified certain people who had the gift. And an assassin isn't just a person who has a gun. An assassin is somebody who can kill somebody with their mind. And that happens quite a lot. That's quite classic what this person is saying, because you join an organization because it will protect you, because it's big and powerful and I can rise up its ranks and I can be something big and people will look up to me. and I'll be special and I'll have a uniform. And then something happens and you think, I'm sick of this. Look at all the pain I've brought to the world. And those people become light warriors because they are so burdened by what they've done that they need to pay back double quick time. And there's good and bad in that. But basically, that's more common than you would think because there's been a huge plan to mobilize from the good and the bad side people who have those psychic abilities. So the bad guys want people because they can use them, and the good guys want them to target the bad guys. Not all my labs are bad. Now that's quite shocking because if you go on the internet, I should think 99% of everything you read is about my labs are bad. And I will just say this, that there is a force in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and the United States who use people with gifts and skills in a MyLab setting to target bad people. Now, whether the argument goes, whether these people gave them permission or not, that I'm not going to get down that road. But it's very, very dangerous to say that because somebody did something in a past life or they did something then, it's necessarily negative. And, you know, we have to be cautious and careful before we sort of make sweeping statements. If somebody did something bad and killed 100 people, then it was their learning experience. And if we go on feeling bad about it, and I'm talking now directly to the person who wrote the question, you will never evolve. If you for the rest of your life say, oh, I feel really bad, I killed 100 people, I must pay it back, I must pay it back, you will not evolve. What you have to say is, look, I did it. I wouldn't do it now. I've evolved. I've moved forward. I will do good, not because I am terrified of what I've done catching up with me. I will do good because I choose to do good just for goodness' sake. Now, that is the evolvement. You know, so many people do things because of karma. They're frightened of it catching them up and biting them. Well, put it away. I did it. It's done. I've learned. I had to do that. I had to go through that. I had to learn. Remember, physical bodies die, but the soul doesn't. If people, 100 people died, they come back again. They didn't die. They come back. So we learn not to do that. We learn it's wrong. We learn not to slavishly follow people. We know not to put false gods in front of our own true soul. And we learn the values of life. And that is the evolving. That's what we do here. That's what we should do here. So have no fear. Just go forward. Do good because you want to do good. And you will evolve at a really fast rate. God bless you.
There you go. So we're at the top of the hour. So I thought, now,
you... Cup of tea time.
It's definitely cup of tea time. But there's something that you don't know. Over the last few weeks, I've been playing with this, with my little sound changer thing, and came up with a little alien character called Eric. And in the chat room, they're going to get crazy over it. But anyway, I have a track from Eric Clapton. So this is your Eric Dose, everybody. And it's all about karma. It's called Further On Up the Road. You're going to hurt someone. You're going to get, someone's going to hurt you like you hurt me. So there we go.
Okay.
There we go. Eric Clapton with Further On Up the Road. So Simon, back to, has anything arisen during your moment making your tea? No thoughts.
Thoughts?
Thoughts? Okay. Get
you. You mean, did I go into another dimension between here and the kitchen?
Yeah, you may have been my labbed, taken for a 6 months journey around Zeta Ridiculi, and, Zeta Ridiculous, and then, dropped back 5 seconds later. You never know. People happen, people talk about
it. Might be right, but I wasn't. No. Although I will say that, a number of people who, go for a journey when they're with me, when I'm not with them, so they disappear into another room, you know, I don't know, go to the loo or something and then come back and say something's happened. It's much more common than we realize. Much more common than we realize. But no, not in this instance, just downstairs, cup of tea, say hello to my cats and come back again.
All right. So, not so far from home, Paul from Newcastle, question for Simon. I would love to hug you in person because since my Skype session with you on November the 4th, 2015, I feel you implanted a bit of your magic into me because I've felt different ever since I met you. Did you implant some of your energy into the people you had sessions with? Or is this a feeling of awakening in us that is allowing us to see the truth?
Well, that's very kind of you to say that. I think that when somebody talks to me, if they've got questions that perhaps no one else has been able to answer successfully, if they have memories of some sort and they just need the opportunity to connect on an energy level, then it can do a whole range of things for people. Just like when someone has a session with you, JP, you know, you do your healing process, and mine is a healing process in many ways. I don't think, how can I put this? I see many people, and many people have different takes. They are different, but they all have one thing in common, which is they want to understand, they want to be free, and they want to continue with their journey. And for many of us, we go through blocks. We can't go on our journey. We get held up or we get sidetracked. And so we often look for some sort of assistance to get through and move it. Now, you know, when you've done that yourself maybe 1,000 years ago or many thousands of years ago and you have a memory or an understanding, when someone asks you, you can say, well, why don't you try this? Because, you know, in your case, it actually worked. So I've always tried to give advice and insights that will help people. There's no point in having a Skype session with someone and dazzling them with what I can see and what I know, unless there's a purpose to it. And if it's about setting somebody free or getting them to understand who they are, because knowledge is power, and once they understand who they are, then they can begin to work out what their role is in this world and what they're being there, you know, what they're there for. And so I'm really pleased that, you know, it was beneficial to you. And I want you to go on and, you know, do everything that you can do and obviously come back to me if you need any issues. But in his case, he has all the answers he needs in himself. And all I sometimes do is unlock the door. It's for that individual to be brave enough to walk through that door. And then once they walk through that door, then they're into a new realm. So it's really nice. So thank you for saying that.
Yes, and exactly. And in terms of like when people go to a session, I'm not putting anything in. I'm taking stuff out. I'm taking out the blocks. And the effect of removing a block to one of your DNA, you know, it's like a super talents that you have as a child that are then locked in because it's traumatized. And all I'm doing is reconnecting the traumatization, the de-traumatized child. And that releases so many, what I call superpowers. That's my feeling with it anyway. Mm. People are calling in, but, it's best to stick with these questions. So, here's an interesting one. This is from Michael Fisher. What is Simon's link to Kingston upon Hull? A few episodes ago, Simon alluded to being linked to the city of Hull in the north of England. If pertinent, can Simon go into further depths? I have experienced high strangeness there a few times and wonder if there's anything to it. Many thanks, Mike.
On a 3D level, Hull is seen as a very poor place. It's seen as a very depressed place. And it's seen as a place that many people wouldn't live. The reality is that the community spirit is very strong. Hull's thriving marketplace and, you know, it's a very, very interesting place because the energies there, whilst they may appear to be somewhat down and low, have pockets of absolute shining light. And if you think about Jesus, Jesus didn't just go to the rich and well-to-do places. Jesus went to the poor places because Jesus knew that in the poor places you would find these really, really special places. It's not always in the palaces that, you know, the good is. Often it's full of bad, and we find the good where we least expect it. So places like Hull or Kingston on Hull, to give it its proper term, from a statistical point of view, don't rate very highly, but from a raw energy, community spirit, rates very highly. So I would much rather spend some time in some parts of, well, not obviously there are bad energies in all places, but I like to counter the view that Hull is a very depressed area. It may be depressed economically. The reason it's depressed economically is because the Houses of Parliament aren't there, because the rich bankers don't live there, because the big multinationals aren't there. That's why it's quite low. You know, if some of these very wealthy people were to set up their businesses, Hull would change. So economically, depression doesn't mean spiritual depression. And that's something that we want to get across. Just because we're economically down in some areas doesn't mean that the love of the people in that area is any less than anywhere else. So, yeah, I'll stand up for places like Kingston or Hull.
Hull, Kingston Rovers. So, ha, hey, hurrah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this is an interesting one. This is about ancient technology. Hello, Simon. Are you able to share... This is from Silver Lightning. Hello, Simon. Are you able to share anything regarding efforts to retrieve or extract sacred artifacts and artifacts of alien origin and technology in war zones and regions of conflict? This by those who wish to hide such efforts under decoy of such conflicts that serve as a cover for them. Light, love and blessings to you and JP for all your efforts to bring enlightenment to those of us who are kept in the dark.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words to us. Sometimes objects are potentially of such power that they have a value. The value isn't monetary, the value is about control on the planet. And it isn't just the humans that are after them. There may be a range of off-planet entities that either wish it to remain hidden or would like to get their hands on it. Now, if we go back to the days of the Knights Templar and the number of artifacts that under cover of a Christian war, several crusades, who recovered treasures from the temple, what they did was hide these objects out of the third reality. So they didn't lock them in a vault or put them in a bureau and lock the key. They shifted them partially out of this third dimension. They thought that was the best way to protect them. There are other objects which lie under the desert, under the jungle, and then knowledge or whereabouts has been forgotten, and then something occurs. Usually, actually, it's an American satellite, which is getting more and more sophisticated, which detects something, and that's in Romania, where the underground caverns and bases were detected by actually a satellite, which detected that. But local people will have a oral tradition of something being down there anyway, and certainly some of the local rulers will know because it's been passed through their families. In terms of Romania, we know that Ceausescu, he was the last ruler of an Iron Curtain country in Romania, the last one to fall. He was the last one to fall because he was desperately doing deals with the United States because of the very, very important alien artifacts in his country, and he was using them as a bargaining token to try to survive. And if people can remember back to 1989, I think it was, or 1990, the gun battles taking place, and he was the last one because he was trying to leverage. But it isn't just stargates or portals or pieces of spacecraft that are fought over. Sometimes it's over evidence. And I was very, very fortunate in 1971 to be taken to the cinema by my mother, my human mother, to watch a B movie. It wasn't the main movie, and it was a documentary all about what was called the Chariot of the Gods, and following these artifacts or buildings, very early days, 1971, in terms of awareness. But one of the things there was they went to the Baghdad Museum in Cairo, and they actually managed to get access to the Baghdad battery. That's the cylinder, the copper rod, and you wouldn't be allowed to do it, you know, many of the years afterwards, but they actually, in the Baghdad Museum, put a few drops of lemon juice into this thing and got 1.5 volts out of it. So it shows that this thing is, what, 2,000 years old, 3,000 years old, that electricity was understood. And they were using it in the primitive form to electroplate objects. Now that means that 3,000 years ago, they had electricity. And that is why you're very hard pressed when you go into any substantial Egyptian buildings to find any burn marks in the ceilings. You go to a Greek or Roman temple, they're black in the corner where the burning lamp or the burning brand has stood to cast light. But the Egyptians don't have that. Well, did they work in the dark? No, they didn't, because they had electricity. So when the Americans invaded Iraq, hey-ho, the museum at Baghdad was raided, and that was one of the sacred objects that was removed and has never surfaced again, to my knowledge. And lots of other objects which provide absolute evidence that cultures on this planet had technologies which your textbooks don't allude to. And so it's not always about the great big high-prized equipment. It's sometimes about evidence. So I'm not saying they created a war to raid the Baghdad museum, but they'll have a list of this is what we could do under the guise of a war. And they just do that. And that's exactly what happened. So you're absolutely right. War after war has been started. Think of the Vietnam War. That was not over alien technology. It was over what we'd call dragon gold that was hidden in the caves in North Vietnam and also Korea. Nothing to do with communism. It was to do with gold. That's why the Americans started the Korean War and the Vietnam War, to get their hands on gold. And that's why the Chinese came in on the other side, because the Chinese already back in the 1950s and 60s knew that they wanted a currency made of gold and they were going to try and protect it. So that's what happens on this planet. People fight over scraps. Thank you.
Okay, so we got somebody trying to call into the studio. I'm not taking calls, so please stop trying. It's like every 2 minutes. Anyway, it's from Kurt Murphy. Maybe I'll just look. I'm just going to bring him in. Yes, caller. We're not taking calls at the moment. Could you try stop calling in?
Oh, sorry. I was just hoping that I could eventually, like, get through, you know.
Yeah, no, you won't. Goodbye.
Oh,
thank you for calling.
Okay.
Right, okay. Sorry about that, Simon. Here is...
I see. Yeah. I know it affects the way we do it, but I'm quite happy to take calls. The problem is that we get paid agents who've been paid to come on and use bad language and just attack us. So you're right to do this, unfortunately. Because especially the way it is on the planet at the moment, it may seem cruel to what we're doing, but there are so many people who actually get a salary, they get paid to do stupid things and hurtful things, that, you know, we have to do it this way.
So, Kurt Murphy. Dear Simon, I wrote a paper for a high school earth science class in 1967 on the hollow earth. And received an F. I read Frank Edwards and Flying Saucer books and could not find anyone to talk with. I don't know who I am. It is so beneficial to have you share your reptilian mantis hollow earth human attributes. Now at 67, I come to learn that it is better not to judge or find fault and to choose my words carefully when thinking and talking. Am I on the right track for this coming shift? Thank you for all you and JP do for us all.
Well, clearly you are. The difficulty, I often parents will ask me, they have children, and they, well, what do I do? Because they'll say that they want their children to have a spiritual upbringing, that they want their children to know the truth, but they don't want to put their children in a position where they're at odds with the system, and the system, you know, penalizes them, as in the case here. And my answer is, look, at the moment, the bad guys hold the positions of power. So you have to jump through hoops. And what you've got to do is to say to your children, actually, this is the truth. This is the truth. But when you're at school, or college, or university, and you want to get the degree, at the moment, you must give them the answers they want. Because all they are interested in is turning out people like themselves. People who won't question, people who are limited or blinkered, narrow view, and will just regurgitate exactly in a robotic fashion what they want. Now, if we don't do that, if we make a principled stand, that's fine. But how are we going to live? If we are very fortunate and we've got a rich parent or something like that, we win the lottery, we can afford to do that. Stick two fingers up at the system and say, I can be independent of you because I've got money. Well, 99% of us can't do that. We have to rub shoulders with the system. We have to make a living. And it's a compromise between maintaining our own sovereignty and our independence and our belief, but giving just enough ground to the system so that we can survive. So this chap who has put his question in wrote what he believed to be the truth, which actually probably is the truth. I haven't read his paper, but was the truth. And he talked about the hollow earth. But it wasn't that the people marking it believed him. The people marked it said, this is not the syllabus. This is not the answer we want. It doesn't conform to my little grid. Therefore, I'm throwing this paper out. That's how the system is designed deliberately to only produce people who can't free think. So it's a good example of a duality where spiritual people within their own home have a value-based system, and when you open the door or you engage with the corporate world, you realize that their system and their values are totally alien, I'm using the word deliberately, totally alien to ours. How do we keep our sanity? How do we protect ourselves? And particularly difficult with children. Because otherwise, unless you're clear with the child and say, this is the value in this household, this is the truth, and I will give you evidence to show you how the system manipulates, but you are at school, you have to give them the answers they want. So just give them the answers they want, but never sell your principle, never sell your soul. And it is incredibly difficult and becoming more and more difficult. When I was a child, when I was growing up, there was a lot more freedom and leeway than there is now. The difference is we have the internet. And that's the difference, because now young people can go on the internet and they can find valid information that challenges the bullshit that they are having to write to pass exams. So, you know, the future is children. That's the great hope here, that these young people will say, you know, well, look, I used to teach people to drive. I'm not going to mention any names, but so many of my fellow colleagues who were driving teachers, driving examiners, driving instructors, would moan about the 17-year-old kids who questioned them. Why do I have to do this? Why do you want me to do that? And they would get really cross because it was a power thing. I'm the driving instructor. I'm the driving teacher. I tell you to do this. You should do it. Well, that's bullshit. I loved it because when I was a kid, you were told don't speak until you're spoken to. Don't question anything. And now I had 17-year-old kids in my car saying, why do I have to do that? Now, if you know why you need to do it and you have no problem, then I'd explain it. You know, this is why we do it, because these are the benefits, A, B, and C, and this is a value. And for me, the child's natural rebelliousness is the human spirit. It's the human spirit saying, you tell me why I need to do this. And if you can convince me, then I'll do it willingly. Much better to do something willingly than be told, if you don't do it, I will punish you. Or if you don't do it, there will be something negative happen to you. That's the easy way, isn't it? Do it or else. Much harder to say, okay, I'll take 5 minutes of my time to explain to you why I want you to do this. And that's the difference between a forced education and a free spiritual education. So if we are engaging with a system, We need to give the system what it wants as long as we don't compromise who we are and what we are. So it's a damn good question. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the listeners. We've got a large number of listeners today, and I just want to say hello to Russia, to China, to Japan, to Hawaii, to Alaska, to New Zealand, to the Philippines, to India, and to Bahrain, and loads of Europe, and loads of America. So, excuse me. I'm good.
Bless you.
Yeah, curry. So, moving on. Let's move to Cynthia, who's saying, because this Earth is on the edge of this universe, a fringe planet, and all sorts of nefarious off-planet beings and interdimensional scumbag beings attracted to it. Please, use commas. Please, commas save lives. Will Earth always be susceptible to calamity throughout its ages? It seems that this Earth is some sort of training or testing program whose condition depends on the level of consciousness of the beings that have bonded with it. Will this Earth ever experience eternal peace?
It will if you want it to. The important thing here is that this world is a wonderful place to learn. There aren't very many places like the Earth, actually. It's a wonderful water world where we can take on physical bodies, and we have a whole range of interactions, both physical and energetical. And we have a primitiveness on this planet which challenges us. You know, we don't have a situation where we have access to the most advanced technologies or the most advanced developments in our own selves, like telepathy or teleportation. So we are limited. And those limits force us to think and to question and to come up with alternatives. Now, this planet has always been fought over. It's never been destroyed as we would understand it in the full sense of the word, because it's too valuable. But it's been fought over. The resources have been fought over. And the right to control the intelligent population, which is humans, is something that's been fought over for a very long time. That is what we're going through now. The difference in recent history is that this other group of Earth rulers, who no longer satisfied with running their own city or their own country, took it upon themselves in recent times to decide to run the Earth. And these people are the ones who have thrown off their duty to their overlord gods. And they started with what we would call a hybridized Anunnaki, who were placed on the planet to manage the planet in lieu of the people higher up from them. So we have today a range of people who would wish to rule the world, but perhaps rule just one or two countries, but have this mindset that they will do that come what may. No is the answer, because what will happen is that humanity will reach a level, a decision, where such things are pointless, that nobody wants to play those games. And I keep saying it every time. If everybody on Monday went down outside their local post office, so everybody, let's say 1,000 people, sat down outside their local post office and just sat down and blocked it every Monday and said, we're campaigning because we want senior citizens to have £10 a week more because we think old people who are retired should have more money. Do you know, within 2-3 weeks, the government would give in. And that's what they rely on. They rely on the fact that people don't work in unison. You know, people act in small groups, or they go and do petitions, which are a total waste of time, or they lobby their parliament, which is a total waste of time. But in they take direct action, that has an effect. And so the whole point here is that we are here to learn and to change, and there'll come a point when nobody else will be able to manipulate the population, because we will have evolved beyond that. So that's the answer. No, there is a time coming when we won't be manipulated, although we can choose to manipulate ourselves. But that's another one.
Okay. Here's from Bolton, Lancashire. 4,000 holes. Oh no, it's Black Berlin. Dear Simon, thank you for your sincere dedication to humanity and your sheer hard work. Big thanks for DAP too. Now, here's the question. Does meat and fish eating in any sense threaten the well-being and lives of the children of this world? Perhaps if we're clear on this, then the millions of flesh eaters may benefit from knowing the consequences of being party to that industry. So, yeah, we're talking about the industrial death industry child trafficking complex.
Right, I need to understand the connection between eating fish and meat and child trafficking.
I think basically by supporting the meat and fish industries, that's my interpretation. You're supporting the rest of that industry which is involved in child trafficking and human trafficking and all that stuff.
Right, well, there are lots of organizations involved in child trafficking, not just one. Right. Okay, let's look at it from that point of, from the living animal point of view. We are here to make a choice, whether we eat food or living food or we don't. And everyone must make an individual choice, and it's very dangerous to start forcing ideas down people. But I'll give you an example which works well in Britain, and I think to a lesser extent in America, because we all love our animals. People who know me know that I've got quite a lot of cats, and many people in Great Britain have cats and dogs and other more exotic animals. Now, the question I would say is, why to those people, why don't you eat your cat and why don't you eat your dog? And they would be horrified and said, because they're a member of the family, they're my pet. To which I say, okay, why is that animal more important than an animal out on the field? And they would say, well, because that animal is the farmer's. You know, it's bred to be eaten. It's bred to be killed. And I said, do you hear what you're saying to me? That the animals in your care live because they're yours. But the animal over there that belongs to the farmer, which is his, is going to kill and eat. So that's the best way to start looking at understanding whether it's right to eat meat. Now, in terms of the trafficking, it's about two things. One is Satanism and the other is money. Now, they are interlinked, but the vast majority of people who traffic children are not Satanists. They traffic it because they get huge amounts of money and because there's something at fault with their soul. That's the point. But the people above them will use organizations to, like you would launder money, you'd put mob money through an organization and it would come out clean. So they will use organizations that have a legitimate need to be cross-border to move children around. But they are only doing it for the rich and famous. That's where the real money is to be made. And if you take out that top echelon, everything else will collapse. So what we've talked about earlier on in the show about the situation with the Clintons, the situation at Capitol Hill, the situation with the satanic control, if you take that out, you take the brain out of it and everything else will just fall apart. So you did explain it, but I'll be honest with you, I still didn't, and I don't want to go there anymore, but I didn't understand that question fully. Because there are many organizations. Think about all the, you know, the boats, the people who escape one country that's war-torn and the children all disappear. But look at the people in Hollywood. How many children go missing in Hollywood? How many children go missing in New York? How many children go missing in London? Some of that is purely trafficking for money, but much of it is controlled by a satanic arm. So, best way is to take out the brain that controls that satanic influence and it will all stop.
Punkt. From Lupus. This question is about the Basques of northern Spain, which is interesting because I think I've got a bit of ancestry in that. Mm-hmm. Hi, Simon. Greetings from Canada. Possibly Quebec. Let me just see if you're from Quebec. I was wondering if you can answer where the Basque people of northern Spain come from. My ancestors, I found, were Basque and learned a lot about, I learned a lot about the people, specifically two points of interest. Basque people have the most Rh negative blood compared to all of Europe. The Basque folklore tales talk about giants and how they led them to the Pyrenees mountain range. Finally, the fact that they aren't Indo-European peoples is fascinating as well. I would contact you, but I have no money since I'm studying at a college. Thank you for everything you do, Simon. Lupus.
Okay, you don't need money to contact me. The question is whether I'll actually be able to, you know, read your email or speak to you, not because I don't want
time, yes.
Because it's difficult. I think what he's saying is he can't afford a consultation. I don't know that you necessarily need a consultation. One of the reasons that the Basques have been so persecuted is precisely because they are seen as a threat, because they are, like the Jews, a group of people who have tried to preserve their culture and independence and not mixing with outsiders. The reason they've done that is because they contain a high degree of non-Earth human material. Many of them can connect with Atlantis or Numeria, but many of them also don't. They have a very strong connection to non-reptilian, actually, to what I call a higher human group. And it's that connection to higher humanity that the Spanish government and many other governments around find quite threatening. The Basques will form their own trade networks, their own co-op networks. They will trade with themselves. They'll be self-sufficient. They won't buy in to state corruption in the same way. They are fiercely independent, and there was a Basque separatist movement, was seen as a terrorist organization, because they were, I'm not justifying it, but it's because they saw themselves under threat. Interestingly enough, we could look at the Jews, the Israelis, and say they were a terrorist organization because they were blowing up and killing, you know, and how the media and the news can quietly move something and present a different image. So you're right to be interested in the Basques. They are one of the few remaining higher human groups that are broadly untainted or uncorrupted. And that's why they are kept at arm's length by most of the Rothschild-controlled European countries. So yes, it's a really good point.
Okay, here's a question that has been bubbling up and getting very, very heated in the chat room. So let's address it. Let's do the further question. Do you know anything about Max Spears? He seems a person very well versed in all things, and he was killed for speaking out. It was reported that he was investigating paedophilia, was going to name names, and had been warned that he would be in trouble if he did. So, Max Spears, do you have any intel on Max Spears and what really happened to him? This is a big question in the whole truth community for the last 6 months.
And so it should be. Max Spears, I never met Max Spears, not to my knowledge, and I'll explain why I'm saying not to my knowledge. As far as I'm concerned, he was a gentleman. He was decent, honest, couldn't be corrupted, and he was murdered, and he was murdered. Because he knew too much and because he couldn't be broken. Right. Some interesting things about Max Spears and his history. It's not widely known that Max Spears and James Casbolt lived in Brighton. I lived in Brighton. And Max Spears and James Casbolt used to meet in a safe house owned by MI6 in a place called Hove, which was right next to Brighton. In fact, it's called Brighton and Hove. Now, I lived in Hove in 1963 with my human mother 1 year before we moved to Brighton, and I have the address of the MI6 safe house. And in 1963, I lived a quarter of a mile away from this safe house. The reason that Max Spears and James Casbolt spent their early days in Brighton was because of a certain hospital, which at the time in Brighton was part of the Tavistock Institute. So both Max Spears and James Casbolt were mind controlled when they lived in Brighton. Now that's not widely known by many people. Let's talk about what happened. look, we all have different experiences and understandings, and some of us are more knowledgeable than others in certain topics. And I'm not a researcher. I've always made that clear. And I don't usually dip into the internet, frankly, because it's just a little bit busy doing other things. But the little bits that I have seen are wrong. Max Spears, in my opinion, and that's only my opinion, Max Spears was not killed by a mind control group sitting 20,000 miles away sending stuff to him. I don't believe that's how it was done. I believe that it was a program placed in Max a very long time ago that activated. I think there was also a physical attempt to kill Max using scorpion venom and South American snake venom. And that the last interview that Max did showed me beyond any doubt that what had happened is a program had activated in him which was designed to shut down his vital organs one after the other. And the black magicians, the satanic peoples, have the ability to do that. Now, there is a particular person in the US Army who he mentions, who is a black magician, and the intel that I have is that they had, whether Max remembered it or not, they had met recently, within 6 months of the video that I saw, within just days of his murder. They had met, and it would appear that Max was on the point of outing certain people because he couldn't be controlled. And so he was murdered because he was a light warrior and was going to bring some truth where there's darkness. So I have nothing bad to say about Max Spears. I only have the highest praise. That's why people need to take seriously that when anybody puts his or her head above the parapet to give truth, whatever that might be, there is a consequence. Now, Max knew. Max wasn't frightened. And he believed that his truth was worth his life. So he was the victim of a satanic attack. No question of it. So that's my view on it.
Thank you very much. Let's hope we can at least lay Max's soul to rest. There's been so much controversy and division about this. I think people are trying to tear everybody apart from each other. And, you know, it's just mad. Anyway, so thank you very much, Simon, for that. People are naming the names in the chat room, but we won't do all that. All right. Okay, from Ingeborg. Dear Simon, is it possible that the terrible events that occurred during the intergalactic wars and the imprisonment of mankind and other species through reptos and the AIs caused such a great trauma that we all had to suppress it and block it out of our consciousness to go on living? Could it be that this collective suppression created the demons? Then the healing would be to reconnect with the feelings of fear and desperation, of hate and guilt, instead of denying them. Within our heart, we could accept those demons of our own creation and heal them. In my therapeutic work, I do work with that destructive part of our personality, which created it as children out of helplessness. Now, as adults, we can thank them for their support and agree with them to a new job description that makes them our friendly helpers. I believe the only way to heal the actual situation is love. I thank you for your kind love and assistance and pray that you stay safe and sound. Now, I just want to jump in there, that's exactly the theme of my presentation on the Lyran trauma. So, Simon, should we take the Wayback Machine and go back a billion years and talk about the Lyran trauma? There you are.
Hello.
Okay, so how much of that did you get?
Well, I got enough to realize that somebody really didn't like me or us talking about Max Spears and Satanism.
Yeah, interesting. Well,
did it go your end or my end?
Just your end.
Yeah.
I'm still all connected with my servers.
Okay. Well, someone really, really doesn't like that topic. And it's still very a hot potato for because so many people in the alternative community are talking about it and raising questions. Mm. I'm going to talk about it some more because I'm not going to be bloody frightened by these people.
Right, enough.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a little bit and say that it's interesting that the policeman who investigated Max Spear's death has been taken off the case. And he's gone, sort of reported as sick. And there was an autopsy, and not all of that autopsy has been released. So the system is reaching out through local law enforcement in different countries, trying to keep a handle on it. And also I will mention Miles Johnson. Miles Johnson has been championing the case of the parents, and an attempt was made to kill him. And interestingly enough, that was snake venom, some other bits and pieces, because he had been involved, and I'd put on my website that a neurotoxin has been used, which is perhaps a bit unfortunate because at that moment they hadn't had the report back from the hospital, but I'd spoken to someone in the security services who'd said that they understood that a cult had targeted Miles Johnson because he was becoming involved in the Max Spears case. And this is a particular cult that has Egyptian connections. So it's within the alternative community. It is a very, very big topic. The black magicians are trying to cover their tracks, and anyone who's digging about needs to be very careful. So we still haven't been cut off yet, have we?
Nope, we're still online.
Good, okay. That's excellent. All right, so listen, I'm just going to quickly thank everyone who's donated. I did want to sort of give out some names of people, but I haven't got round to that. But I just want to thank people for donating. And I know people donate to UJP and to others, and, you know, it's just brilliant. So thank you to everybody. Right, okay, next question then, JP. Let's crack on, maybe, before we cut off again.
So, by the way, you don't know, but I don't know if you know, my middle name is Simon, and this question is from Simon. So,
three S's.
Yes. Thank you, Simon and JP, for all you do. You have changed all life for the better. If religions, in quotes, of all types are constructs of the archons or ruling races to further manipulate and control us, how do we know what is true and what is lies in the Bible, Talmud, Quran, and the Buddhist teachings, or in New Thought teachings such as knowing our oneness with God, creator of all things, and that as a creation of the creator we create? Is Jesus just a ruse, so we must need and rely upon a saviour because we can't hear... So we must need and rely upon a saviour because we can't save ourselves? Thank you for your clarification and insights. There's another one. This is going to get us cut off.
I will answer that, but what's interesting is that my watch has just stopped. It's a battery watch, and it was on 58% power just before we started the show, so it should have gone on for another 24 hours, and it's just showing a zero charge. So at the moment that we got cut off, the battery in my watch just emptied. Right, constructs, religious icons. Jesus, as portrayed in the Bible, is inaccurate, and certainly was, as far as I'm concerned, a Jesus figure. And the Jesus who overturned the money changers' tables was the real Jesus, the person who didn't like people lending money and charging huge rates of interest. The Jesus who wanted to communicate with ordinary people and not the kings and the lords. The Jesus who didn't dress in fine robes. That is the real person, what we call the Christ consciousness. What's happened is that in order to control humanity, a story has been weaved around to lead people to follow a particular individual rather than the individual's values. So people are taught to love Jesus. They're taught to love Mary. They're not taught to love the values of Jesus. and this is the key point. It's taking away the humanity and putting an element of control in it. It's like the Ten Commandments. You know, if you are your commandments set in stone. And so a system that wishes to enhance itself and to give validity to itself and authority to itself will hark back 2,000 years and say, well, we are the today's speakers for this individual. I've got a picture, believe it or not, of the Pope. Yes, I do have such things. And he's standing there selling a plastic rosary for about a dollar. And these pictures taken, and you know, you can do all this. And there he is standing in front of Jesus. And there's a picture of the church's portrayal of Jesus, and the Pope is taking the same physical position. And it's just so obvious that it is a complete and utter trick to draw people in for the best reasons. People, you know, go to Jesus because they think it's good and right, but they're not particularly evolved. But they do it for what they believe to be the right reasons. And they are locked into a control system. And how better to do it than to have a book, a Bible, that's 2,000 years old and say, well, you can't argue with that, can you? You know, that's 2,000 years old. That must be the truth, mustn't it? So that's the point. But the reality was there was a Jesus, and there was a person, there have been many on this planet, who contain source energy and have been interacted by just about everyone to try and win them over to one side or the other. Because when an individual like that takes a stance, he or she places their energy in a linear terms to the left or to the right, to the male or the female. And their decisions, their way of life can put the earth on a different timeline. So if you can control in the minds of people, in the masses, you can try and push the earth on a timeline. And I haven't talked about it, but there's been a real effort by the bad guys in the last 6 weeks to try and push the earth on a bad timeline. For 15, 20 years, we've been on this positive timeline. They've been hell-bent on trying to knock it out and to put it onto a bad timeline. They've not succeeded. But things like the Jesus character, unfortunately, have just been manipulated. That's a really powerful question, you know, and I would love to sit and debate that with the person. But I can only give you, I'm afraid, a very small answer, and that's my answer.
Okay, thank you. There's a question from Dean. This is quite an esoteric question. Your website recently reported earthquakes in Switzerland, near to CERN, and where JR is holed up. I'm sure, probably that's Jay Rothschild, maybe, I don't know. Jacob Rothschild, sir. Were the quakes in Italy close to the tower where the watery black smoke is holed up? Does this smoke merge into one being on the same date every year, or does it vary year to year? Good. Yeah, do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah. I think that the quakes were more aimed at some of the underground facilities that the Rothschilds have had built in Switzerland. I don't believe the quakes were aimed at the CERN device. I think they were aimed at the Rothschilds, not insubstantial cellars. Maybe they contain lots of bottles of Napoleon brandy, or maybe they contain something else. But I think that the earthquakes were more to do with that. What the person's referring to is more demonic than off-planet. You can manifest and create. We were just talking about Jesus. Let's talk about the popes. They burn white smoke and black smoke when they want to say whether the groups, the cardinals, have chosen a new pope. Well, when you create smoke, you create particles, and you can interact, if you have the ability, you can interact with those particles in the free air, and you can create or coalesce something from that. So we're not talking off-planet, we're talking more demonic. We're certainly talking fourth-dimensional stuff. So thank you for that question.
Okay, well, coming to the final rundown. Let's see if there's anything. All right, Oh, is this a, I don't know if it's a humorous question or, things are getting serious these days. But, again from Dean, is Queen Liz 2 a clone? Did the real one die very young and get cloned from a sample taken from left forearm prior to be buried in Ruin Minor? I don't know what that Ruin Minor is. Is that a,
no, the answer is no, because the Queen is the number one grandmother. She is the highest, within that grouping. You don't clone someone like that. The soul in that body, well, you do, but you don't clone at this point. The soul in that body, is outranks just about everything else. In one of my conferences, I showed a picture of, one of the Bushes. I think it was Bush Senior, I can't remember now, who'd come for a meeting with Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and he's grinning like a schoolboy, giving the devil sign, a sort of semi-hidden, i.e., oh, look at that, I'm next to the most important devil figure on the planet, and I've got next to her, and I'm talking to her, giggle, giggle, grin, grin. No, that doesn't happen with those people, because they're so high up the pecking order that you just wouldn't do it. They're just too powerful. What will happen is that their physical bodies will be maintained, maybe by blood, maybe by other elements, but their physical bodies will be maintained for as long as possible. And then the debate is whether the next member of the royal family is reptilian enough to take the throne. Now, is Queen Elizabeth II of Great Britain the same soul as Queen Victoria of Great Britain and as Elizabeth I? So you can't just dominate all the royal physical bodies. You have to give other members of your family the chance to come in and rule. Otherwise you get rebellions, and that's what happened to Anu. If you hold the kingship for thousands of years, then the rest of your male family gets a bit annoyed and starts trying to rebel against you. So what you do, if you're clever, is that you run for a term of office, you give it over to another member of the family who's getting a little bit big for their boots, you give them a term of office, and then you get it back again. Now, that's just replicated in governments. That's exactly what happens in Great Britain and America. A political party wins a term of office, it comes out, another political party comes in, it goes out, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's a control mechanism, not just to control the people, but to control the people at the top, because they all get a bite of the pie at some point, so they should stay in there and be a good boy or a good girl, because you will at some point get a bite of the pie. My view is that Queen Elizabeth I is the same soul that is in Queen Elizabeth II. Not a clone. Could potentially be cloned if they weren't happy with who was going to replace her. And that's why we have this problem in terms of who is going to replace Queen Elizabeth II, because the truth is nobody knows. They don't even know at the moment. That's why they're doing everything they can to hang her on. So thank you very much. I guess we're out of time.
We are indeed. This has really whacked by, like time at the moment. So thank you very much, Simon. And because time is so speeding up and so many important things, hopefully you'll be back in 2 weeks.
So do I. Listen, God bless to you, and it's wonderful to speak to all these fantastic people who listen to the show. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, everybody. Stay tuned for Nancy and Walt for their commentary on what Simon says. And then after that, I'll have a very interesting perspective on the... Well, we'll have some very interesting perspective. Let's put it that way. Thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
Connecting consciousness.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.